Passed out some handouts for 1 Corinthians chapter 3 on Wednesday. So hopefully those who got them on Wednesday have theirs. I made a couple more. Is there anybody who still needs chapter 3? Okay. Do you need 1 Corinthians chapter 3, or did you get that handout? Okay. I gave mine to Bob. Okay.
Thank you.
Yes. Well, I'll give you one to follow along. All right, everybody's got a handout? So you didn't bring yours. Jake, I know you don't have one.
I don't.
It's good to see you.
Good to see you too. Thank you.
Yes. If we open our Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians, I'm going to read basically the last couple verses of chapter 2. Since it's been 2 weeks since we looked at 1 Corinthians, to refresh our minds to see where we're at. I'm just going to read a passage and then we're going to go to God in prayer. Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that the day that you've given us, that we've come together, that we can open up your word, study, continue to build us up, get understanding, Lord, what you would have us done as we follow the path of Paul, as we follow his letter to the Corinthians. We know that it also has applications to us. As we study this, Lord, give us strength each and every day. Allow us to follow along. Allow us to be attentive listeners. Be with those that are teaching all the classes, that they may have recalled the things that they have prepared. And be with us, Lord, and give us strength. In Jesus' precious name, we believe and pray. Amen. All right, so turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 13 to the end of the chapter. You know, man put in these chapter breaks, man put in these numbers so we can find them and go and turn to these passages. Remember, this is a letter. So the continual theme or continual thought went from basically the beginning introduction all the way through chapter 4, which we're going to do, I'm going to do chapter 3 and 4. And I just gave you the outline for chapter 3. We're probably not going to get through all of that, but we'll see how it goes. We'll see how far we get, and it will continue on. I hear I have no specific timeline, so that's good. So starting in chapter 2, verses 13. These things we also speak, not in words, with man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can we know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And as he finishes his thoughts, he starts in chapter 3, verse 1. Now, on my first page, you'll see basically an introduction and outline for the next two chapters. As the messenger, you know, Paul's addressing them, he's talking to how immature they were. He talks about, you know, that the person delivering the message, those standing in front of you, those delivering preaching or those delivering teaching, that's not the importance. The importance is God and the message, right? And when Larry gets up and teaches, I get up and teach, Daryl gets up and teach, and Chuck gets up and preach, right? We should be all on the same page. We should be all together. We should be unified. And hopefully you see that. We're unified. And then it talks about in verses 9 through 15 that we are God's fellow workers. And we'll explore more of that. And we'll see how far we get in the chapter. So turn to page number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And some of the verses that I have that go along with that, because I think the Bible's best commentary is the Bible. So as we go through these things and we look at to what Paul is trying to talk to the Corinthians, we can look at some of the other passages and look to what he's trying to say. So verses 1 through 4. And I, brethren, Paul, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal. The English Standard Version says, people of the flesh. The New International Version and the International English Bible says, worldly. As to babes in Christ, I fed you with milk, not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And not even now are you still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal? And behaving like mere men, walking according to man? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? And I'm going to read that same first three verses, but I'm going to use the New International Version. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? Now, we've seen some of this before. Staying in 1 Corinthians, look at chapter 2, verse 6. As Paul writes, based on the inspiration, he says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. Yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. People think themselves pretty important when they have what behind their name? A bunch of letters, right? I have a doctorate, I have a master's. Now, that doesn't mean in their specific field that's not important, right? But when it comes to spiritual matters, do you have to have a master's or a theological PhD to understand the Bible? No, we shouldn't, right? We should be able to understand that. Jesus spoke to who? Fishermen? I can relate to that. I can relate to that, right? Those that were educated were what? Paul was the only one who had that important education at the feet of the leaders. But when we talk to other people outside, what do they want to bring in? Well, how do you know what the Bible says? How can you know what the Bible says? Because it's a hidden mystery, right? It's a hidden mystery, right? Now let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Paul also writing this letter, also trying to demonstrate what we need to make sure we are grounded in, and we're working toward that foundation. Kirk, can you read 14 through 16? So Ephesians chapter 4, 14 through 16. I'm like, I know it. We're trying to follow along. Ephesians chapter 4, 14 through 16.
That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning and craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things unto him who is the head of Christ. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every joint, supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for edifying of itself in love.
So we emphasize the last part of that, right? That according to the effective working by every part, what is that? Who's the parts? Us, right? We're the parts, right? Every part does its share. So we all have work to do. This is active, right? Christians are active. So we all have work to do, right? Causing what kind of growth? Growth of the body for the in love. So we're all doing this. We're all looking for growth. But Paul was addressing them saying, hey, you're not ready for this. You're not ready for this spiritual, you know, maturity. You're still acting like a child being tossed about by to and fro. Remember, they had questioned his apostleship in the letter to the Thessalonians. They questioned whether he had that ability to bring that forth. And then let's also look what Jesus had to say in Matthew chapter 15, verses 13 through 14. Jake, do you mind reading that for me? Matthew 15, 13 through 14.
But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone.
Now, what was Jesus speaking to? Whom was he speaking to? The Pharisees and scribes, right? The leaders, right? These are the leaders. They were the ones who were supposed to be the teachers. They were supposed to be the ones guiding them. But what did he call them? And he called them not just there, but many other times he called them. What did he call them? They were what? Blind leaders. And if I'm blind, if I don't know where I'm going, I'm going to fall into a ditch. I'm going to hit a tree. I'm going to hit a wall. I'm going to hit another car. I'm going to crash. Because they should have been, right, knowledgeable of scriptures and seeing the things that Jesus had described about. They should have been the ones directing. Well, Paul was not a blind guide. He was giving that direction to the Corinthians. But he noticed that they weren't taking his advice. Now, are there still blind leaders or guides today?
Yes. Amen.
Are there still people trying to lead us astray? Chuck says this often. You have to be helped to misinterpret the Bible. So there's lots of people out there trying to help people misinterpret the Bible for some reason, right? Is that right, Kirk? Does that happen all the time? Yes. Yeah. How does this relate to what Paul was speaking about to the Corinthians and also us today? Well, what did it say children were going to be done in Ephesians? Tossed about, to and fro, right? Hey, that sounds good. You know, maybe I should listen to what they have to say over there. Hey, this person has some authority. Maybe he knows what he's talking about. But even of our own number, right? Not here, but other members of Church of Christ who may have been teaching for a long time, they even sometimes, either later in life or when they think they've learned something new, that, hey, this, we want to change the way we're doing things, right? We want to change the way we're doing things. Yes. So in verse 2 of Corinthians chapter 3, it says, I fed you with milk and with solid food, not. Not with solid food. So let's turn also in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 12. Chuck, do you mind reading that for me?
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. I'm hoping it does.
Chapter 2, verse 12?
Yeah, 1 Corinthians 2, 12.
Okay. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of know the things we have been given freely, that have been freely given to us by God.
Now let's turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Then let's turn to Hebrews chapter 5, 12 through 14. Hebrews chapter 5, 12 through 14. You got it, Steph?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not. skillful in the world of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
Now let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 through 3. Remember, we studied that not too long ago. It just seems like yesterday, right, Chuck? It was 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 through 3. 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3. You got that, James?
Wherefore, lay aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere help of the world, that ye may grow thereby. If so, be ye as tasted that the Lord is gracious.
And then also let's turn to John 16, verse 12, and I'll read that. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. So in verse 2, Paul talks about giving them still the first fruits, the first principles, the first teachings of Christ. Now, when you plant a garden and you put a seed in it and you cover it with soil and you cover it with some fertilizer and you give it some watering, what is your expectations? Right. It should start shooting through a tender sprout. You should see the green leaves as it comes forward, and those green leaves raise up and they sprout out. As we have children, as we see they grow from one stage to the next, their vocabulary increases, their knowledge increases. But as adults, when you give some new teachings, we expect to see that same germination. We expect to see that same growth. And we see that that's important, right? We don't want to be tossed about like children by any wind of doctrine. But Paul was doing what in verse 2? I fed you the beginnings, right? I fed you the milk and not of solid food because you were not able to receive it. And even now, there's a period of time, right? From the time he was there to the time he wrote this letter, he was expecting to see what? Germination and growth and increase, and they would keep following this doctrine, because if he wasn't there, who was here behind him? Apollos. And they sent others to also help nurture him. And they should have been doing what? Every week we come together, we open God's word, we see that germination, that fertilization, that watering. We know that God gives the increase, but we also see us increase in knowledge and abilities and start looking forward to going, okay, I can now discern what was solid foundation of God's word. I can discern the difference between the other things. But then in verse 3 and 4, Paul starts to question them, right? He asks them a couple questions in verse 3 and 4. Are you not carnal? Well, what did he say carnality was in verse 3? He gave them three things. Envy, strife, and division. Anybody have anything else other than those three in your interpretation of your Bible? Envy, strife, division. Right? Well, what does envy mean? You know, I envy Larry Wisdom. He is so good at how he speaks and how he teaches classes. I wish I could teach like him, you know. He has the knowledge. He has the command. I really wish that I was more like him. Is that a good thing to be?
No.
Who should I be? I should be me, right? I should be me. I should be centered on strife. Arguing. Backbiting, right? You know what? You know, Clay, let me tell you something about Kirk. Oh, you heard it already. Divisions. Well, you know, we all have divisions, right? We all have places we sit. We sit with families, right? We all have our special. Wait a minute. We all went together. We had this big meal over at Kathleen Historical Society. We all were doing what? When we come together, you know, we have to flip the lights. We have to ring a bell to go, okay, I appreciate everybody visiting. We now need to study, right? That doesn't seem to be divisions among us today, right? But that's what was happening in Corinth. Does that can still cause problems today?
Yes.
Absolutely. And it says, are you not worldly? Because if you are that, if you are causing envy or strife or divisions, he says you're acting like what? Mere men. Right. Or I have also walking according to man. And I love the Bible because the Bible has its own questions. I don't have to make up questions. The Bible has questions to help us with our study, right? And he says, because the works of the flesh and carnality were contrary to the gospel and the message that Paul was conveying. And this caused them to do what? Be stunted in their growth. So something was taken away, right? That growth didn't happen. If I'm standing over my garden and looking for it and I don't see anything germinating, it's like something, I didn't do something, right? I didn't put the right fertilizer. I didn't water it enough. I didn't do something. Something caused that growth not to happen. So as we review these first four verses, right? Can a carnal person mature? No, right? And they remain a spiritual infant. Dividing and following men is a sign of what? Spiritual immaturity and carnality. Remember, every one of us started our walk how? As a brand new babe in Christ, right? Depending on my own conversion was here at Lakeland Hills. I was an adult. I was 30 years old. I was studying with J.D. Copeland. And so I had already learned some bad things, and so I had to unlearn or at least learn the truth better. Do we all come with the same passions and hungers at the same time?
No.
Do we all grow at the same time?
No.
So what do we do with each other? We're patient, right? We're caring. We're loving. It says that, right? That we should be doing that, because one of the things in Ephesians 4, it says, we all are different parts. We all do our share. And we all cause the growth of the body for edifying of itself in love. What perverted Paul from speaking to them as mature Christians? One of the questions I have there. What prevented them? Well, they weren't ready for it, right? They weren't ready to understand these more weighty subjects because they were still lacking some of that spiritual maturity. So in the next question, it says, what was the root cause of this carnality or lack of spiritual growth? Was it something Paul did? Was it something God did? So where was the part? So it's all on us. But God causes the increase. But what does it cause us to do? If I'm not spiritually minded and I'm worldly minded, it doesn't allow me to then do that. Well, it says here in this other question, what is the difference in the spiritual diet of the immature and mature Christian? So I'm going to take Catherine out and I'm going to sit her in the adult class. Is that a good idea? No? She's not ready for that? How about we move her up to the teenage class? Is that a good idea? That's chaos, right? That's chaos, yes. So the spiritually immature, right? There are different things we need to give them to let them grow, right? Yes. And we talked about what the lack of growth was. Where is our worship supposed to be centered? Where's our worship supposed to be centered? Okay. Where does it start, though? Internally, right? Internally, right? Us, right? It starts with us, right? Am I prepared? Am I ready? Do I have the right frame of mind? Have I studied the lessons that somebody put together and wrote down a piece of paper? Of course, no one writes anymore, right? It just types, right? So types in there, right? Types in there and go, okay, hey, here's some of these questions. And then, did we write some of the answers down? If you didn't write anything down, is this for me or is this for you? Is this for me or this for you? For us, right, for us, yes. And hopefully, we may even spawn what? More questions than I wrote down, yes. And then the other one, how are we responsible for our worship, growth, studying to God? It's a spiritual diet, right? Our spiritual diet is 1 hour of Bible study today, 1 hour, or actually 40 minutes-ish on a preaching lesson. We have another lesson this evening, and then we have a Bible study on Wednesday. So if I ate those three meals for the whole week, would I have a good diet? I'd be pretty thin, right? I'd be pretty malnourished, right? So some of that responsibility is also on us outside of here, yes. And then what can we do to make sure our worship stays focused on the right things? How can we do that? Have to put those worldly things aside, right? How do I walk through the door? When I walk through the door, right, is this a special place? This is my special place, right? But how do we walk in the door? Prepared, ready to open our minds, our hearts, our Bibles, and get focused on what we are trying to do. And making sure my mind is prepared and ready to continue on. Well, Paul also gives them some admonishment. So let's turn back to 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 through 9. Because then Paul has some important lessons to tell them. So in verse 5 it says, who then is Paul? And do you think he was just like, who then is Paul? Or do you think he was, you know, he wrote this letter, but how was his emphasis put? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? And then he uses a term, right? We want to call Bible things by Bible names. But ministers through them who believed. So is that a correct term? Can I call Chuck a minister? Yes. Yes. Is he ministering to us? Yes. So I could use that term to apply to him. As the Lord gave to each one. Okay. So here's that question in verse 5. Who then is Paul? Who then is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one. Then he says in verse 6, I planted, talking about who? Paul. Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. So farming is something that they were familiar with, right? I planted, I put the seed in the ground, I covered it up with dirt. Apollos watered, right? And how did God give the increase? We'll talk about that in a minute. But God gave the increase. Verse 7, so then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters. Now here's the important part. But God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, unified, not separated, not envy, not strife, not jealous of each other. And each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. And then I'll put verse 9 in there, but I'm also going to wrap 9 to the verses 10 and 11. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. So descriptive terms. Romans chapter 15, verse 16. Tony, do you have that for me? Romans 15, verse 16. Okay, in Romans, who was writing the letter again? Paul. So who is it referring to? I, meaning Paul, right? So he's also using that same term, ministering, minister. All right, let's turn to Jude 19. And I'll read that because I'm going to read both the New King James and the International English Bible. Jude 19, chapter 1. I know there's only one chapter. Okay, Jude 19. These are sensual or worldly persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. That was the New King James. The International English Bible. These are the men who are making trouble. They are only physical. They have no spirit. So Paul referred to himself as a minister. In the New Testament, it talks about ministering and ministers, and they have different meanings in that. But there's about 40 different times that word's applied. And there's times it's applied to what the preacher is called a minister. And then we talk about planting and watering. Let's look at Luke chapter 10, verse 2. Luke chapter 10, verse 2. Ken, do you have that verse for me? Luke chapter 10, verse 2.
Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.
And no, that was good. That was good. Who was Jesus talking to? His apostles, right? He was telling them that, hey, there are fields, there's great labor coming. Now, also, when we look at Acts, and we see the scattering and spreading of the Gospels, we see that that's also an important thing. So let's turn to Acts chapter 8, verse 4. The people were all together in Acts chapter 2 and 3 and 4, but then there's a persecution that came, and we start to see them scattering. And Acts chapter 8, verse 4, therefore those who scattered went everywhere, but what were they doing? And in mine, it says, preaching the word, and I have growth. Preaching the word. Who gave the increase again? God. So did God allow, hey, all these people who heard the apostles and Peter's first sermon, a number of them were baptized, and they kept adding to the church. But then when the persecution went, they then scattered and went, what, back home? But they were able to bring their knowledge with them and start that germinating seeds. This caused the spreading of the gospel to areas where Christians who themselves brought that and taught God's plan of salvation. They themselves were new converts, right? They heard the first words. They are now being able to spread this. And we've read this many times. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Romans chapter 1. 16 and 17. Who's got that? You got it, Chuck?
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God's salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith.
And you've used that many times? We've used it in different Bible classes many times? What?
About a million.
About a million? A million. That's a lot. That's a lot. That's a lot. And then let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. Angel, do you have that for me?
Yes. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God.
So God, so Paul in his second letter was telling him that God also reinforcing that hey, remember, you need to give away your carnality. You need to be reconciled back to God so that you can continue to grow. Now let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And we're studying Thessalonians. We're not quite done with it, but we'll go back to that verse because, you know, Paul has a lot of things to say in his letters. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. So the Thessalonians were quick to receive. What were the Corinthians doing? They remember still questioning Paul's apostleship, but the Thessalonians received that in the spirit in which it was attended. And then Paul also wrote to Timothy in chapter 2 of Timothy, verses 3, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, and this is a scripture we read all the time and focus on, that all scripture, and that includes the epistles and the letters, yes, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for what part? In that the man of God, and does that mean just men only? No, that means all of us, right? May be fully what? Complete, thoroughly furnished, equipped for every good work. Right, and so we should commit that to memory. So Paul's point between him and Apollos, he said he did what? He planted. Apollos, what point was made about the differences between Paul and Apollos? Was there a difference? They were all part of, we're nurturing, right? We're all nurturing. So you should give more creed to Paul, or I'm going to follow Paul's word, or I'm going to follow Apollos' word, because he said what? We're nothing, right? Neither he who plants is anything, or he who waters is anything, right? How does God give the increase to our spiritual growth? How does he do that? How does he do that for me? For me. How does he do that for me? How does he get me really hungry, really thirsty, really interested in remembering and committing to memory? Like some of the verses we read before, like Romans chapter 1, 16 through 17, or 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17, or John chapter 3. Not just verse 16, right? John chapter 3. Or John chapter 10. Or how does God do that for me? It depends on me. So what do I do? Again, that's personal, right? That's personal. How do I study, read, continue to be interested in the things that we have to say, things that he wants to say? Will that have an impact today? Yeah. Do we go through periods of times where we get really busy and maybe I forget that, you know, I was supposed to study and I needed to do an extra 15 minutes and world catches me and I'm, you know, watching grandchildren, you know, as a grandparent, they're busy. But I have to take time, right? I have to take time and make sure that I'm also focusing on my growth, but I also have impact on my grandchildren if they're seeing me read the scripture and read it to them. Yes, right? Does this spiritual growth stop at any time? Oh, I've reached maturity. My plant is full. I've yielded my fruits. I'm good. I can now retire. Chuck, do you ever get the chance to retire? You did retire. Chuck retired. He said, I retired. And he liked it so much that he came to work with us. Yes. Well, I retired from being a paramedic and my job that was a paramedic firefighter. But does that mean I've fully retired? I do nothing now. I just sit around and watch the grass grow and tell somebody, hey, you need to mow that, right? No, it has impact on us every day. Do we keep studying as we get older? Well, I learned these things, but you know, you open the Bible and you read and go, when did Paul say that? I have to restudy that again. Yes, because as we're growing and knitting together, does that create unity? Yes, unity through love, right? Unity through strength, unity through caring for one another. Now, I put a question in there to kind of finish this out. We have this last thing. What other lesson is stressed in these verses? I didn't give a whole lot of time for you to answer, but, you know, short questions. What other lessons are in verses 1 through 4 and 5 through 9? I think we got like a whole minute or something. Well, yes, Daryl.
Well, we get focused sometimes on that. So I planted an Apollos water, and we get focused on it. But the whole point there, that in the, what all this can say is that the focus is on God. Paul's trying to say, I planted. But does it matter who sticks the seed in the ground? It matters that you put, if you want corn, you got to put a corn seed in the ground. So it's the seed that is the focus. It doesn't matter who pours